Our sermon today is based on a reading from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to heal us and help us. This familiar gospel story is almost always presented as a story about ingratitude. People actually get indignant when they consider only one of the 10 healed lepers decided he had to turn back and thank Jesus for this miracle. But you know, there is always more to a gospel story than what we focus on or see on the surface. There's a lot more going on here than just 9 ingrates and 1 man offering praise to God. And we should do better than sneering at the 9 who kept walking. When you think about it, you have to admit the 9 lepers were doing exactly what they were told to do. Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priests, and that's what they were doing. In Levitical law, the priest was the one who would pronounce a person with leprosy cured after performing a thorough examination. It was only after that happened that a person with leprosy could return to his regularly scheduled program of life. Leprosy in those days was considered to be a sign of God's displeasure, so no one wanted to be around a person with leprosy just in case their sinfulness rubbed off on them. It was also highly contagious, so people with leprosy were forced to leave home and family and live with other lepers. They had to shout a warning to unaffected people whenever they were out and about, crying, "Unclean, unclean," so others could get out of their way and stay a safe 100 paces away. In this story, leprosy brought together some strange bedfellows. Among this sad group was a Samaritan, a descendant of the people who lived in Israel after the exile and who intermingled with the pagan people of the area, people God had warned them against dealing with, much less marrying. Samaritans and Jews held to different interpretations of the law, and each group was fiercely adamant that their particular temple in either Jerusalem or Samaria's Mount Gerizim was the proper place to offer worship to God. Both groups shunned the others at all costs, and they wouldn't ever deal with each other unless they were forced to. Leprosy brought this ragtag group together. It is indeed true that misery loves company. So here were these 10 guys standing on the outskirts of town, drawn together by cruel fate. But wait, here comes hope. How they had heard about Jesus, how they knew he was a great healer, we aren't told. When the lepers saw him, they started shouting. They had to shout together to be heard because a symptom of leprosy was hoarseness. They had to speak with one voice and one purpose. They had to work together. They didn't ask for healing. They didn't ask for alms. They asked for mercy for all of them. They kept their distance as they were programmed to do. For all they knew about Jesus, they didn't realize, as we've seen the past couple of weeks, that Jesus was not tied down to the social dictates about clean versus unclean. He was willing to go to the Gentile centurion's home, even though people would have said that made him unclean. He walked up and touched the bier carrying the widow of Nain's deceased son, even though some people would have said touching a dead body made him unclean. He would have gone right into the midst of those 10 lepers and touched each and every one of them, even though people would have said doing so would have made him unclean. The men didn't know Jesus had come to face and erase all the dividing lines, clean versus unclean, Samaritan versus Jew, and render them obsolete. They didn't know that, so they kept to the societal norms and did what they thought was noble and proper by keeping their distance from him. They also didn't know that something new was being born right in their midst, and they were invited to be part of it. Jesus didn't have to touch them to heal them, just as he didn't need to go to the centurion's house to heal his sick servant. Healing could happen long distance. Healing could happen in conjunction with obedience. Jesus only told them to go to the priest, and as they were going, they suddenly discovered their leprosy was gone. I'm sure they were glad and grateful, but they were so wrapped up in the old ways of doing things that it simply never occurred to them to go back and thank Jesus. They had it in their heads that the one thing they must do upon being cured was to go to the priest and then offer the requisite sacrifices and do the right rites, taking a bath and shaving off all their hair. But a new day was dawning for hope and healing. All the rituals didn't matter anymore. And there was a new way to worship, right at Jesus' feet, striking an attitude of gratitude and raising their voices in praise to God. There's a lesson here for us today. This past year of quarantine and confinement and masking, much as the 10 lepers were quarantined and confined, kept away from familiar patterns of life, this past year has effectively forced us to rethink so many things, even the way we worship. Churches streamed services since they couldn't meet inside their buildings. We've done FaceTime when I was confined to home after breaking my leg. This has been a time to learn and do new things. It's not that the old ways weren't working and weren't effective. The lepers needed that assurance from the priest that they were all right, that they were healed. But there was a chance for them to turn their backs on the old ways and let something new break in. Perhaps that's the Samaritan leper's greatest gift to us. He had the bravery to realize something new was happening before his eyes, and he dared to turn back to defy the old dictates and discover the power of Christ for himself. Perhaps he thought, wait, I can't even go to the priest here in Galilee. He won't let me into the temple because I'm a Samaritan. But he learned he didn't need the priest in Galilee. He turned around and found the high priest of us all, the one who came to hear and to help, who with his voice and through the power of his love could make all things new and declare anyone and everyone healed and whole. Perhaps as he looked at him lying there, Jesus thought about the verse in Psalm 86. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. And perhaps the Samaritan expressed his gratitude with some other verses from that same psalm. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever, for great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. I wonder how the Samaritan felt when Jesus asked him, where are the others? Perhaps he did try to make them turn around and come back with him to thank Jesus. Perhaps they kept walking, knowing that once they got their clearance from the priest, they'd be rid of him, and they wouldn't have to put up with him anymore. Yet even in their miserable little group, there was still a core thought that, yeah, we may be lepers, but at least we're not Samaritans. And even with an illness that could have, should have, unified and solidified him, they still found reason to ostracize even as they were being ostracized. Jesus' question was a trifle unfair. Was the thankful leper supposed to have made the others come back with him? Was he responsible for the way they reacted to their healing? As he lay there at Jesus' feet, the thought came to him, I'm here, Jesus, thanking you. I don't know about those others, but I know about me. Because just as you can't live someone else's faith for them, you can't live someone else's praise for them either. You've got to focus on your own faith and your own praise, and that's what the leper did. Aren't I enough, Jesus? Don't I count? Don't I matter? And as if feeling his twinge of doubt, Jesus told him to rise. Your faith has made you well. Your faith that I could do something for you. Your faith that I would have mercy. Your faith in the new thing God is bringing into the world. You are not only healed of your leprosy, you are now whole, saved, and you are now part of this great new beginning from God. The Samaritan had spent however long it was in a different kind of community, a community built on necessity and need and similarities. For what it was worth, he and the other men had created a society of their own in which they commiserated and lamented the way they had to stay apart. How quickly it fell apart upon their healing. But Jesus is there to tell him, this one who came back, that God had concocted a community as well, a community of acceptance and rejoicing that would never fall apart. Jesus had healed the centurion's servant and in a way blessed the man's acceptance of his servant as someone worthy to be healed and worthy to be respected and helped. Jesus had returned the widow's son to her alive and well, and the community that came out to bury him now rejoiced because one was restored to help his mother continue to live in comfort without having to face the dread and loneliness of widowhood. Now Jesus had seen another community in which very different people found a common ground. Perhaps after they saw the priest, the nine others sought Jesus to thank him. They were that entrapped by the old notions that this is what they had to do first. I don't fault them for not going back right away. Sometimes it takes some time to break the chains of we've always done it this way and to try something new and different. I'm sure if the other nine suddenly decided they needed to find Jesus, to find their places in a community of thanksgiving and gratitude, I'm sure he would have been right there to welcome them and bless them. We can't fault the other nine too much because we all do it. We get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life that we sometimes forget to give proper praise and gratitude to God. I've often thought about spending a day just thanking God for everything, and I mean everything. When I woke up, I thank God for waking me up and for restful sleep and good dreams. When I got out of bed and stood up, I thank God for letting me stand up. Before I got up, I thank God for my soft, warm blanket. When I finally got moving, I thank God that I could walk and on, every second of the day filled with gratitude. What stops me from doing that? Not because it would get time consuming. What stops me is the silly thought that God would get tired of hearing me thanking him for everything. All the trivial things. Thank you that my car started. Thank you that the garage door opened and closed. Sometimes it doesn't. Thank you for that sunshine square that Winston loves to lie in. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Maybe it all sounds trite and trivial to my ears, but I know God loves to hear it. Thank you for the deer nibbling the grass. Thank you for my house and for helping me find it. Thank you for the mountains. Thank you for the scenery, for the sun, the trees. There's so much to be thankful for. And I want to be perpetually in an attitude of gratitude for all that God has given me. And I am grateful for discerning in this story that no one is beyond God's mercy. No one is beyond God's healing, despite what we may think. Haven't I said it before? In God's eyes, no one is expendable, not a Samaritan leper, not the slave of a centurion. Healing is available to all, even those we shut out. And God is calling us to build a new community where no one is pushed aside. God is calling us to join that one healed man at the feet of the Savior, striking that same posture of thankfulness, singing those same praises to God, whole and healed and exactly where we need to be in the community that God is creating for us all. Let us pray. Pour on us, God, an attitude of gratitude. Teach us to throw ourselves at Jesus' feet in thanksgiving for the healing and the wholeness you have given us. Welcome us into your community of love and hope. Help us to never shut anyone else out of it, to draw them in as we were drawn in by the love and power of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.